music is your co-pilot,
but you're in control.
Drive safely with Fresh FM.
It's 7:49 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We're talking about families in Namibia. Today is International Day of Families. And we just want to know, do we still value family in modern day Namibia, like the old days?
Good morning. I think we still do value family, but not like in the back old days, in those back in the day. It's like now it's like everybody with their own. It's like me and my kids, and then that's it. We
that's
people
true.
Don't care with cousins and aunties and stuff no more. It's like, see you at the funeral, ne? Check your date. See you at the wedding. Other than that, everybody just does their own thing.
And that's why we need to speak about this, because the 26th of December may not be the right time to try and bring conversations of this nature, because we are all happy and we just want to be happy.
Please. And it turns into arguments.
You see. And that's why we have Abudi John Kamati in studio, the Certified Marriage and Relationship Counselor. He's the right person to make it understand, especially with mommy's voice note, and to confirm or to deny whether that's really the case in 2024. Good morning, Abudi John. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, good morning. Sorry.
How are you feeling today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much. Always great to be part of the Fresh FM family.
Of course.
Since it's a family day.
No, absolutely. We're happy to have you back.
Thank you.
Now, let's just get right into it, Abudi John. What mommy said now here with her voice note.
Yes.
Right? Yes, the question is, do we still value family like we did back in the old day? Is mommy making sense with her voice note?
I think if I may qualify that, she's talking about the broader family. She's talking about cousins and nephews and so on. But do we value family? In principle, family is a group of people which who are related by blood or adoption, or even association, I would say.
Yeah.
So family, therefore, is that nucleus where you belong, you know, with your father, you know, mother and sisters and so on. Do we value that? I think in principle, you know, family is so key to our foundational relationships. So we value that because it is a very key relationship. On a personal level, a child would want a father, she would like a mother, and so on. But I would say that now, as the world has evolved, I would want to agree with the speaker on the voice note that values in society, and I think it's not just in Namibia, everywhere, really globally, we find that the family connection is very much diluted. And also
diluted. Okay, yes. I'm going to highlight that word.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also the values in terms of just the norms that put the importance of family together in terms of marital relationships. We find that is also that also has become very slack, in the sense that people now are not really emphasizing marriage. You know, you can have just relationships that do not have a covenant. When I'm saying a covenant is really marriage, is a covenant. So they are loose. There's a lot of single parents where people get children out of wedlock. So in that context, you find that really family is so diluted that kids are missing essential and important relationship that should discipline them, that should show them love, that should set them up for life, and so on.
I think that's why it's so important to have you in studio, Abudi John. Because
thank you.
Because I mean, you sort of see it, but it's almost as if you don't want to admit it. Family structure. You said diluted. That's the one word that really stayed with me. Are we in trouble as a country? If you look at the next 30 years, we saw the stats in terms of children out of wedlock. We saw the stats in terms of kids just generally being born without a covenant, as you rightfully say. Are we in trouble in the next 20, 30 years with families becoming, or the traditional families that we thought it was traditional, of that running extinct?
I agree fully. We are, family is the foundational relationship, or family is the foundation of any society, of any nation. Mm. That is where you are taught the values of life, how to relate, how to behave, and so on. And without a healthy family foundation, you know, you now also have, in our country specifically, you find children that are brought up by grandmothers that are so old in villages.
CJ.
So they miss out on the essentials of that relationship. And then they grow up dysfunctional. We see now a manifestation in our nation of certain traits that has never really been experienced before. If you say 30 years ago, 30, you yes. know, before independence, if I may say so, not that it's definitely related to independence. I think it's just because, you know, the world is evolving.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gender-based violence. Children that are being abused, you know, molested. You find a lot of weird things like children beating up their grandfathers or grandmothers.
Mm.
Stuff that we have never seen before, you know, that are very that are showing a dysfunction in the community. I do prison ministry where, you know, and one of the things that you find very prevalent in prison is that many people that end up in crimes, they will tell you, I'm talking specifically about men, males,
yeah.
is that the common thread that you find is that I never had a father. So you find that children grow up with a whole lot of anger and a frustration that somehow must find an expression in some sort of dysfunction. And I think, yes, I would say that we are in danger of losing values that are very critical and necessary for the health of a nation. Remember, foundationally, the family is the key foundational relationship upon which a society is based or is built.
Because, you know, Shekwan, we try and seek political solutions to issues like the issues that you mentioned, like the gender-based violence and all this weird, you know, intersexual violence. We try and find criminal-based solutions. Also, you know, we will take them to the law, and you know, they'll get punished.
Yes.
But do we look at foundational solutions? And I want you to hold that thought, and I want you to think about that, Abudi John, as we continue with this conversation after 8. You're more than welcome to disagree with us or agree with us, or add that's your wisdom as well to the conversation that we're having. Do we still value family in modern day Namibia like the old days? And be brutally honest with it. We don't, right?
No.
We will find out why. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. It's 7:58.
Thank you.
It's nothing like owning your own.
It's a Timberland. And vocals by Nelly Furtado and Justin Timberlake. 8:10, that's your time. Thank you so much for choosing us. We are in the midst of talking about family structures, family values in Namibia. What are your thoughts?
Good morning once again in the studio. I think that we do not value family at all, especially us as black people. It is what it is. I said what I said. It's because I think because we've become very soft as a generation. I mean, we doomed for the next generation. They will not have a message for anyone. Or that's the scary part. I don't think the next generation will have a message in terms of you know, carrying on the tradition of family and how much family means and the values and what you stand by. And I mean, if you look at white people, it's just a big difference between how white people view family and how we blacks view family. There's just two different, completely different things. And then I just feel that, yeah, like I said, I think we just become a very soft generation. And the other thing that probably would lead to that is because children are having children. So how do you expect them to, you know, to have values or respect family or have value for family if kids are having kids? So, sorry, guys, that's just my thought. Sorry, a little bit excited here, but okay, thank you.
All right. So you know what's actually coming to mind right now? Where did we go wrong? Like, why is it that? Because, like, this has become, it's like a national thing. Mm. It's, like, very true what he's saying, like, in terms of black folks. Like, it's just, we just don't value family as much as we did at one point. So where exactly did we actually go wrong? When did we stop caring this much for everyone? Where it's like, you, your kids, your business, I don't care about it because I have my own problems and that's it.
Thank you so much. Well, that was a very funky song. I didn't know that Timberlake is like
that. Oh, the one that we played.
I'm very old school, so maybe I need to get fresh.
No, anyway, we've got you.
Anyway, where did we go wrong?
Where did we go wrong?
That is the question that I believe will help us to retract. Now, just to reflect on what my brother said there, making a distinction between black families and white families.
Yeah.
I think what we need to recognize without always blaming the past is the fact that if there is a race that has been challenged in terms of consistency, is the black community. Because where we come from in terms of apartheid, now you find that has gone, but also it has brought changes with the within the black community that has given access to opportunity, to wealth, and all that kind of thing, but also a transition. In the last 30 years, you find that many of, in fact, more than 30 years, 30, 35, there wasn't so much an inter, we weren't mixed. You know, the communities in the black community, they were very much
confined to their tribe, and the values were
different. Now, what is it that we have gone wrong at? If you don't have a point of reference, and I think that's the danger that we now are seeing with the new generation. If you have not seen what is normal, then your current normal become dysfunctional. You understand what I'm saying? We also have a lot of migration into the city. You have a lot of informal settlements. It has brought about also a culture of poverty. People are parents are separated from their children. Some are still in the villages and so on. Or kids are sent to the villages while people are working here and just making children. One, you know. Let's get back to the root. Mm. What is the responsibility of a family? Let me just give you a few glimpses the importance, for example, of children in their education. Their first education comes from home. A son learns from his father how to treat a woman by seeing how he treats his mother. A son learns from a father how to work for your family. A daughter learns from a father how to be treated by a man. The impartation of a father is very important to set a child up for success in life, because there's a normalcy there. Having a mother also, you see how you experience nurturing. You experience love in life. It helps you also with your self-esteem and how to make choices. And just in general character development, and also it gives you ideas and a picture of future relationships that you should have. So when you now find that there is a lot of families that are not married, in fact, we have a high level of single, I just don't know the statistics, unfortunately, which we probably don't even have the percentages, but now you have a lot of single parent homes. That is dysfunctional. We were talking about, let me put a few things also that according to my estimation, or rather understanding, having grown up with a single mother, I have found that there is things that you miss out of life, even when you become a parent later, that you just have to learn the hard way, or that you might not even know. A boy, or let me say, a child learned by proximity. In other words, being in the presence of someone already, it's a bonus to your learning. A child learned by observation. I observe. It's not what you do, but rather what you say, but is what you do. That works in a home setting. A child learned by instruction, it also by correction. Now, if you lack that, it then also makes you very, it doesn't equip you sufficiently enough for life. Some people have done it, I mean, have gone through that and still managed to come out, you know, balanced in life. It doesn't mean that it is general.
Mm-hmm.
You ask a question before, as we are saying, where did we go wrong?
Yeah.
I think, family, I must say over and over again, the responsibility falls with the home, within the home. The responsibility for family is within the family. But what can government do, for example? We spoke about that briefly, is to enact laws that can maybe be punitive to dysfunctional behavior, but also perhaps set up institutions that can help out of the dysfunction. For example, even rehab homes, you know, through the Ministry of Health. Limit the issuance of licenses for liquor outlets. Now things have changed. We grew up in an environment where a residential area was a residential area. If you need alcohol, you go to the bottle store.
Yes.
But now a child grows up and you have
just down the street.
Not even next down
door.
The street.
Next door.
Next door on both ways and opposite. It's a shebeen. Now, that's what you see as a child. And you grow up with a normal thinking that drinking is the thing to do. Other nations, let me say, for example, I think Botswana have, for example, I think banned things like the hubbly bubbly or whatever it's called, bubbly hubbly.
Yeah.
We know that these things are not healthy. And some of those things that are within the ambit of the law that will help the nation to also alleviate some of these symptoms that emanate from dysfunction. I think that is one thing that we can do. But the responsibility of family goes back to really father and the mother. Now, remember, in this generation, you now have fathers that have grown up. Somebody mentioned that many children are getting children. I speak in schools, and I was speaking to a school in Windhoek, and the what is the teacher, the one that's responsible for
the life skills teacher?
She said,
"Okay,
before you used to have boys that would take, you know, drugs at school, just after the first break, and you see when they come back, they're already, you know, you can see
they're high."
He says now girls are also doing the same. He says, she says, teenage pregnancies in school is very prevalent. Now, that then again shows you that there is an access to drugs and access to alcohol that is readily available. I think those things are, and that is where I think the legal systems come in place. How punitive are we to eliminate access to drugs and distribution of drugs and even limiting the outlets of alcohol and so on? So
I will tell you this, Uncle John. I never ever thought that in my lifetime drugs will be readily available at schools.
In fact, we never knew it. I grew up in the 70s. I grew up
you in this, okay.
I was a teenager in the 70s.
Okay.
I went to home to Wolfies Bay about a month ago. And then in my street, the street that I grew up in is called Brandberg Street.
Okay.
It's a street that raised many, many people. If I mention some people that come 100%. Out of that street, you know, it was just one of those places. And then now it's called, the area is called Colombia. That's now the new name that it has been
Colombia?
Baptized.
Colombia?
Why is it called that? It's because drugs are now available. I was walking in the street, and there was this cloud of smoke or rather not smoke, but of smell.
The scent,
smell of
yeah.
kids are sitting on top of the fences, hanging around in the street, not going to school. When I'm saying kids, I'm talking about teenagers and, you know, the early 20s. So you already see that there is a lack of, or young people are not going to school. Now, some of those things need to be evaluated. And I just want to throw in here that there are nations that have really, really gone the mile to combine efforts and to make things easier for families. I think Rwanda's is a very good example to look at. The implementation of those things is what is the other thing. I would say that we have opportunities to really also restore our values. We are moving so far away from God as a nation. We are being taken in by the winds that are blowing globally in becoming more liberal. And we shouldn't forget that despite whatever is happening, we are still spiritual beings. And we get values from that. Why is it that Muslim nations are actually very, very strict in terms of their conduct that they allow,
the culture,
because it is inspired by their faith. For example, my son was to go to Malaysia some years ago. We got a briefing of how you should dress proper. We were told that alcohol is not available. You know, it was made clear in terms of the boundaries of behavior
in this structure
in
of the society.
What can we do? I think the churches, we proclaim to be, or we profess to be Christian, over 90. I don't even think so anymore. It's just professing without actually
sort of the stats to back it up.
Being that there's a good value. Respect your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Love husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit, respect, and honor your husband. No, those things are not feminist.
Those are just normal family structure.
It's a guidance
yeah.
that really speaks to how we are wired as people. You know, honor, respect, forgiveness, all these things. So at the end of the day, if we don't know these values, and if we are also moving away from our cultural values, you know, we now are speaking English. We almost don't have a common, our cultural values are very good in terms of, in Oshiwambo, we have an expression, I think it says, "Nekwajatima uenganyok." It means that however your mother might be looking.
Did Rashima not think about
that? I was just about to say. he made reference to that.
That
yes.
is your mother. Now, if I have to write a book just on that statement, you can write a whole chapter on honor and respect and acceptance of your parents. You understand? We have expression that would say, not expression, proverbs, like say that, shanakudia or shanakulonga, for example. The one that works is the one
that
eats. So those are norms.
The one that works is the one that
eats.
You got to hustle.
Wait, say that again.
The one that works is the one that eats. And that is values that instill a culture that you can't just be lazing home. You got to do something. You don't necessarily have to go and get a job. But the culture of hustling, even for yourself, working at home, and all that, it's very, very important.
But you know, that's a really good point, because it takes me back to how we were raised, for example. You knew that you had to, it wasn't really said,
but
you knew that you had to earn that plate.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like you had to wash the dishes, you had to get off your feet, wake up at a certain time, clean the yards, and... Yeah.
Exactly.
And
today they wake up and go on their laptops the whole day.
Or on the cell phone or like they're just chilling.
Yeah. Now that is not something that you can necessarily just blame to the Namibian nation as such. It's a global phenomenon.
Okay.
The access of electronic media and cell phones have now changed the even the domestic setting.
Abuti John, hold that thought. If you just join us, we're having a certified marriage and relationship counselor, John Komati, in studio. Who or what is to be blamed for everything that Abuti John just mentioned? And you are getting applause, by the way, left, right, and center on our WhatsApp line. And we'll play some of those voice notes. The one thing that I want us to head on address in the structure of international family or day of family, especially in the Namibian context, Abuti John, has to be absent father. The absence of fathers.
Oh, yes.
in Namibia.
Thank you.
Both your generation, which my generation, and also the generation right after that.
Mm.
Yes. Stick around, don't go anywhere.
Have you recently turned 18 years old?
It's music by Rexy and Zinoliski. I know for a fact for Rexy, if in a Namibian context, if someone were to explain to Rexy in a Namibian context, you know, maybe
it's Rexy.
The artist is for Nigeria.
I'm so sorry.
You know,
it's taking me back to, you know.
But you know, different cultures, different, maybe it means something illuminating
on
that side. It's 8:31 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. The NSK and Shekwan is on your radio. We're still continuing with that conversation because today is International Day of Families, and we're asking hard questions. We're looking at ourselves as a Namibian society, and we're trying to have an uncomfortable conversation and trying to seek the truth, okay, in terms of the root of where are we in terms of family in modern day Namibia. Is it as good as the old days? Was the good old days even good for that matter? We don't know. Certified Marriage and Relationship Counselor John Komati is contextualizing all of these things for us. Now, before we took that break, Abuti John, You were highlighting a number of factors. You were highlighting a number of factors that may have led, that's also to the diluted structures that we have of family today.
Yes.
Where our kids today are looking at these structures as it being normal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you highlighted the fact that, you know, the powers that be, the government, you know, as a nation, more needs to be done consciously to structure and to take us back into and create the space for families to thrive, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
But there's one thing that we are struggling as a Namibian nation. As a matter of fact, it has deep roots. You know, deep roots, I'm taking it back to the good old days of CDM. Because what used to happen is our fathers, we would have our structures at home, yes.
Yeah.
But then our fathers had to go work for 6 months.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's either CDM or it would be Sier gaan werk. You know,
CDM is now what we call NAMDEP.
NAMDEP today.
The diamond mining company.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
even coming to the factories.
Yes.
In
Wolfish Bay, in Swakopmund,
because in
coming
the
from the north and so on, 100%.
Migrant labors.
Migrant labor system.
Yeah.
So it has a very deep rooted history.
Yeah.
However, moving into now modern day Namibia, that's not necessarily the case now, is it? So how did this become normal now for fathers to be away?
Yes.
So much so that even in today's times, you are literally in the same town as your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you don't see your child.
That's
exactly
true.
I think culture, let me say,
wow,
the previous dispensation made it import, that was an economic migration.
Yes.
So people's focus was still that I am working, but I'm working for my family.
Mm.
During holidays, people are going back and they still, you know, they send money home and all that. There's another aspect that has emanated out of that, is that you have now found that people that have come for work, there is a certain percentage that have eventually settled. And you find that, you know, families then in that case may be separated and so on. But I don't want to think that that is a bigger portion of that. Remember also the values of a nation, or the values of a people, are also very important. I was listening to somebody from Singapore. Singapore. It's a very prosperous nation, isn't it?
Mm.
But then this man said, In Singapore, it is a cultural norm to look after your parents when they get old. Now, in this, in our time now that we have gotten access to economics, or rather to finance, especially for those that have come from a, from a, from a, what is the word they use?
Previously disadvantaged.
Community. Now you find that we adopt values. For example, you hear the word black tax, that I'm not going to be supporting people. I'm going to be working for myself. Now, there is a whole lot of reasons it, sociologically to explain that. You understand? I think we are struggling to adjust and to find a rhythm for ourselves individually at the expense of our broader responsibility. In Oshiwambo, there is an expression. I think there are so many things to touch on, but I'm just
of course,
kind of...
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
There is an expression that says... Onshinda ekipalo lo Buddha. Your neighbor is your spinal cord. What that means is that as neighbors, we are to depend on one another, protect one another, cover one another.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, you don't see that anymore. It's me and my household. You know, I'm staying at a place where I've got... There are people that are renting in the back. Okay, they happen to be now white. I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, there is no connection. There is no... I put up a WhatsApp group. They've not been in my house. I've tried to have communication. Cultural dynamics that are different. Should anything happen, you know, you are not sure whether you're going to cover one another in that in that context. So there was a responsibility that emanated from home, first in the home, and then also, if you take it broader, your neighbors, your community, your society. You know, me and you, we come from Office Bay. Of course, I'm the previous generation before
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was saying, we were just talking now during the break, and I said, you know, I ask, which side of Quisebon do you come from? And I said, when we grew up in the 70s and maybe early in the 80s, I don't need to know your name. But if you tell me that I'm coming from this part of town, I definitely would know the people.
Yeah.
So the values now, I would want to say, have become much more westernized, that we are losing the values that are essentially African. You find this everywhere. It is in the black community generally, whether you when we refer to each other as brother, hey my sister, hey my brother, that in itself speaks of the attitude of heart of seeing each other not just as friends, even if that is not practiced anymore, but that should tell you something about the mindset
gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go back to something that is very key. I want to read some few state a few things that are important at home in terms, because somebody said on the radio, on the phone that they said something to the effect that...
Is it the voice note that played?
Yeah, that we have become selfish and all that.
Mm. It's just about your small structure, you know. When we will see each other at funerals and weddings.
Exactly. You know, but now... Where does those values come from in terms of relating from your nuclear family to your broader family in terms of your grandparents, your uncle, your cousins, your nephews and nieces? That's family. We are related by blood. You need to understand that there are certain values that determines how and the importance and the priority of how you relate. Now, if you say that I'm only looking after myself, you are missing out on the blessings of family. It doesn't mean that you just have to. It's not all about money. It's about relating, translating where we are coming from. I like what David said.
But Uncle John, does the family understand that though?
And that is
to why understand.
I mean, if you grew up in an environment where we've not been exposed to that, then that's why I'm saying we're becoming very diluted and we are taking on the Western mindset. I grew up in the UK. Well, didn't grow up there, but I went to school in the UK when I was 70. I was very, very lucky as a young boy to go to the UK during the days of apartheid. I remember one day walking in the street in Cardiff. I started in Wales and then Sussex. And I saw this guy, you know, we were walking in opposite direction. Our eyes met and naturally I greeted him. And I got the shock of my life. He looked at me like, who? And this was in the 80s. This was in the mid 80s or early 80s, actually. And he looked at me like, who are you? So already in that space, values have changed. You know, I can still greet anybody on the street here to a certain extent, and they will still respond because that's part of our culture, acknowledging one another, recognizing one another. So what we are seeing now is that there is a division. You have now those that have emerged economically getting well. They are in Ludwigsdorf. They are in, what is this place as you go to the airport? Okay. The children are growing up with all these in private schools and with their cell phones. So they go to the township where the majority of the family is and they can't connect because even that culture has evolved now. It doesn't value anymore the connectedness. I go to Katutura, for example, and I see kids playing in the street. You know, you don't see that as people becoming much more affluent. The kids would rather go and play soccer at a, you know,
after school care.
Yeah, at school, you know, that kind of thing. Those that are. So there is those realities. And I want to say that it seems that the more affluent people become, the more you also find a disconnect within the broader unity of the community and family. So what I want to say here is that, listen, affluency doesn't mean that you need to isolate yourself. The value, and that is why we said earlier that people only meet at funerals.
I was going to say something so ignorant.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Well, you're not on my level anymore. So why should I, you know, interact with you?
Exactly. And the unfortunate thing...
That's unfortunate that we really there.
Yes, yeah. It's there.
And that's what you find in families as well. There's a division in terms of who's wild, and who's so... And then people would... It's almost like, even if I want to visit... We were just having this conversation at home the other day with my brother-in-law. That this thing of... if somebody calls you, that might not be as blessed as you are. The first thing you are thinking is,
you want money?
Okay.
What do they want?
Yeah.
Now, I think that's a sociological development in terms of, as I said earlier, it seems that the more affluent we become, the more disconnected also we tend to move. Unless that is a very strong ingrained cultural thing, which I must specify, in the Arab culture, family is very important.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
And I think that is the unfortunate, as we say, the lot. And if I say that, that's the ongelukkige lot in Afrikaans. That we find that it seems that us that has been colonized, we are always the one that are at a disadvantage, that we need to adopt new values thereof and so on. Let me go back quickly.
Yeah, to what you wanted to...
I said that before. Let me just quickly say the importance of a father in a girl's life, for example. Or rather, let's start with the mother. The mother is your first intimate relationship. You suck from her breast. She's your first teacher, most likely the first one to discipline you. She's the one that gives you food. You know, there's all those natural. That's why you find that we are naturally very close to our mothers. But what is the importance of a father? Let me say for a girl, and then I'll say for a boy. You know, a father's relationship with a girl is so important in setting her up for a successful path in life. It helps with her self-esteem. If you've never had a father, you might be looking for a father in relationships with men, for example. The father helps you to make choices in life because you are exposed to a man in your life. He's the first man to love you. He's the first man to say no to you. You know, he's the opposite sex in your life. But that sets, and that's why it is important to be in the life of your children, to rather be present.
Yeah.
And it develops character, and it also gives a daughter ideas about marriage, what is good about marriage, you know. What is the effect of a absent father?
When it comes to the boy child.
Exactly. With a boy child. You know, you get your guidance, as I was saying. You know, I grew up without a father. I only had my father in my first seven years of my life. And it's amazing how I would want to repeat those things that I saw him doing when he was younger. You know, I don't have a lot of beard, but I would still cut my beard with with foam, and because that's what I remember from him. I would listen to Jim Reeves' music when it comes to Christmas and all that.
Wow.
Because that's what he liked. You know, he used to have these 8-track cassettes. I don't think you might know them, but they were like humongous.
Yeah.
Like VCR.
Exactly.
And I'm holding on to some of those little things, but I've not been exposed to how to hustle for my family. You know, I've not really been disciplined by a father. And I found that when I became a father, and this is very interesting, I'm the kind of guy that I'll take my kids, even up to now, they're in their 30s, and elders were missing 40. I'll come and say, hey, come, let me give you a hug. When last did I tell you I love you? But I have noticed that there are certain subtle things that I find difficult to do because my reference point was absent, even in terms of discipline. You see, these things have got a serious effect if you don't have a father or a mother in your life. That's why you see that it's easy for men to I always say, how can you make love by force? Rape, for example. Love is a beautiful thing. You cherish, you give, you receive. And now I always wonder, how can a man, let me just put it bluntly, how can you even have an erection when you are being rough with a person? Mm. It's a serious dysfunction. And yet, if you look at it really way beyond just the obvious, is that this person is looking for something, but they don't know how to. And they then, you know, I think that's a conversation on its own without defending. So a girl that didn't have a father, I was having a conversation with my daughter last night.
Oh, okay.
You know, and she told me, and I was saying, what are the things you can learn from me? Because one of the things I think I also did for my children is I was pastoring and I was also working at the same time. And I found that I neglected a few things to be in. For example, sometimes I'll miss their sports things and all that. Mm. And my daughter told me that, you know, these things really, they hurt me. And here I'm saying, no, I'm working for my family. So it's important to have that balance.
So Dr. Komati, we just need to take a little bit of a break. Mm. So just hold that thought for us.
Thank you.
So that we can just come back to us.
Because, as a matter of fact, we actually need to wrap up so that we...
There's a lot.
Yeah. But you know what? These are conversations that are continuous. These are continuous conversations. These are conversations that are not going to stop today.
He even knows it.
He looks at the time. but good sir, perhaps just your final stamp on family in Namibia. Just your final thought.
Okay, let me speak really from a point of view as a pastor and a spiritual person in that context. We cannot just generalize. Family is the first thing that God has ordained. He says it's not good for man to be alone. I'll give him a helpmate suitable for him, which is a woman. So it's a godly ordained institution. And then he gave them children. You know, I don't know whether many people know this. In the book of Genesis chapter 4 verses 1, if you read it in the Good News Translation, and it says, and Adam made love to his wife. Some translations say, and Adam had sex with his wife. Okay, other translation we say, and they knew each other. So it's an intimate engagement that brings forth a beautiful fruit, which are children. David put it and said, the children are a blessing from the Lord, and blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. So the other thing that I must mention, really, we need to return back to our spirituality and to return back to God. We have so many good values and guidances for life in terms of relationship. When scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then it gives very specific instructions of how to look after your wife, how to relate with your husband, how to relate to God, and also how to relate to children. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. We can just take that and see how many kids are provoked to anger now, you know, and how that manifests in the society. It says, husband, love your wife, you know, like Christ loved the church. What is an expression of love? Being kind, being patient, being able to cover, not being proud, you know. That's what love is. Yeah. Love is a verb. And wives, love. The other day we were speaking with Shekwan, and she said, we are tired of mothering men. But that talks of a dysfunction in the way we relate, because we are wired to relate in a man-one respect, whether you like it or not. That is many of the root problems that I find in marriages, when people want to divorce, when there is GBV, the guy said that my wife does not respect me. It's not because it is a wrong thing.
Yeah.
We are wired like that. And a woman will complain, this man doesn't love me. If we have forgotten those values, you know, we find ourselves that our normal become dysfunction, dysfunctional.
Abudi John Kamati, thank you so much for your time. I think we learned a lot today. It is International Day of Families. Let these conversations continue in our WhatsApp groups, in our private circles, in our colleague circles.
Maybe check in on that WhatsApp group that you don't normally reply to.
Yes, that family one.
and also, let me just throw this in. If you have issues and beef with your family, make it a point today. Give them a call and just reconcile. Don't get, and you'll see how that will just, it's a victory that you'll have. Wow.
Stick around, don't go anywhere. When we get back, we talk about the Fresh Save.
Lined up in the next bulletin, Oshikoto Regional Councillors press Electoral Commission to rectify omission of registration points, approval secured but implementation pending, pensioners and child allowances await presidential ratification, SA President says the ANC is cautious about forming a coalition government, and South Korea says ties with the United States will remain strong.
Top scores cooking. Now the only question is, what's the top way to eat pap?
I say, it's with chicken poiki.
Well, I like a lekker stiver pap.
No. It has to be with relish and kapana.
What about with braai vleis, eh? That's always a winner.
Ooh, warm milk and sugar, please. That's the best.
Relish and kapana is obviously the only way.
We might not agree on the best way to eat pap, but we can all agree that we love Top Score. It's what brings us together in shared pop culture moments. Top Score, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Transform your home for less this winter with House and Home. Get the 14kg Defy Great Top Loader washing machine for only 6299. Save 500. Or save 2500 on the Restonic Vegas Queen Bay set. Now, just 4999. Let us help you create a cozy space with our wide range of winter must-haves, cash, credit, or lay-by. Only at House and Home until 21 May 2024. T's and C's apply.
Hi kids, it's Toko from Sugar King Vakweni Vawa. We would love to hear what makes your day a little bit sweeter.
When Oma bakes pancakes with cinnamon and Sugar King brown sugar.